I am Planta on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. Every Monday at miserylovescomics.com, there's a new issue of Misery Loves Company, the comic strip written and illustrated by Hannah Myers, who joins me now. We'll talk about the comic strip based on her true life experiences as she looks for love online, as she works and navigates friendships. I'll get her to tell us about her work as an artist, how this comic strip came about, and more. Hannah Myers was born and raised in Burnaby, British Columbia. She attended Capilano College and Emily Carr University of Art and Design, of which she is a graduate. She currently works as a decorative artist to fund her passion for comics. In the spirit of candor, Hannah is a friend with whom I have worked for a number of years. Her Twitter handle is at Hannah Lou Myers. Please welcome to the Planta on the Line program, Hannah Myers. Ms. Myers, good morning.
Good morning, Joseph. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for coming in to do this. It's been a while, so we no longer work together.
No, it's been close to about half a year now, I think.
Has it? It seems longer.
Does it? Yeah. That's good, I hope.
No, I meant it to sound the bad way, but I guess
okay.
I screwed up. So,
well,
yeah.
Just another one.
So you can go on the website miserylovescomics.com and then read the strip, and then this thing that I have here, this first issue.
Yep.
I bought this at one of those fairs, I guess.
Yeah, it was Canzine West. That
yeah.
was in November.
And so do you put these out regularly? How often do these things come up?
That's the first one and the only one thus far from that comic series. I will be having the second issue coming out very shortly.
So if you don't have a computer, you'd have to wait until these things come out? Is that the deal?
Yeah, I suppose so, but I think most people have computers these days.
And it's a nice thing I can read this on the bus.
The goal is ultimately to have it printed in a book.
Do you remember when you first encountered comics?
Ooh, I was a huge Archie Comics fan when I was a kid. I loved the Sunday funnies and newspapers, but the first time I took comics more seriously was probably when I was 16, I think, and I received Art Spiegelman's Mouse for Christmas for my parents.
People, I guess, grew up reading comics, but people can still get Archie and those things.
Oh,
regularly,
yeah, absolutely.
Right?
Archie, yeah. I mean, has had this resurgence now with the controversial Netflix Riverdale series, so Archie's definitely still a thing.
Yeah. And so was it always a goal, say, growing up that you wanted to do a comic of your own?
Not really, no. I had a million different ideas for careers. I didn't really settle on pursuing comics until probably when I was in Capilano.
Mm-hmm.
I did not consider art to be a financially stable career, which it really is not anyways, but
yeah,
you kind of decide that that's what you want to do, so.
And so when you start Misery Loves Company, mm-hmm. how do you decide that it's going to be about you?
Once I started taking comics a little bit more seriously, the ones that I found most interesting were autobiographical works, or works that were inspired by life stories, self-deprecating work. So I just wanted to write about myself, and this was the most interesting thing about myself that I could come up with.
So I've known you for a while.
Yes.
So this, while I've known you these few years, this is what's been going on in your life, is it?
Definitely more so when we first met, or maybe even before. This was before we met,
So this Hannah was in school.
Yeah.
And the Hannah in the comic. How would you describe her? I mean, is she a lot different than you are today?
Oh, certainly, yes.
Yeah, so,
yes.
So what is she like? I guess this would be a good sketch for people listening to find out who this character
gosh.
Is.
She was...
listless?
Certainly unsure of herself. Definitely attention-seeking to a degree. Interested in boys constantly. Feeling a little probably depressed and just unsure of what her life is.
So when you draw the past,
yeah,
what does that mean for you now? I mean, does it make you understand what happened before a little bit better?
Yeah, I think so, definitely. It's given me a lot of perspective on, like, the choices that I've made, safe and unsafe, things I definitely should not have done, choices that I could have made differently. But yeah, I mean, it's made me who I am today. And
She's not a bad character. She's not setting homeless people on fire or anything like that, right?
No, she's not a bad character at all. I think she's probably in some questionable company.
Mm. So, like Jonas?
Sure, Jonas, maybe. We'll see.
So there are other two people here. There's Jonas and Vicky. They're on the cover here.
Yeah, Vicky is a representation of my best friend at the time.
And Jonas is who?
Jonas is a next-door neighbor.
Looks like Hitler.
Perhaps, yes. He's got a mustache.
He's got that Stephen Harper hair.
He's got that little comb-overy thing going on, for sure. Yeah.
So is there something between Hannah and Jonas later?
I mean, you're going to have to read it to find out. Those pages aren't up yet, Joseph, but I can tell you that storyline will be resolved in the next few weeks.
Ah, there we go. What's it like to do this and to do, I mean, one can doodle and draw and do, you know, pursue artistic and, you know, endeavor as a hobby or as a job, but to do this regularly, because you do this every Monday.
I post them every Monday.
Yeah, so that you do them every week, essentially. Yeah. What's it like then to have that sort of schedule, if you will? Is that important as an artist?
Yeah, definitely. The way I kind of decided to do it was get a large chunk of it done before launching the website so I could have a buffer of pages. Mm-hmm. And my buffer is slowly decreasing as life is progressing. Because it's a ton of work. It takes, like, basically a day to get one page done. And working full-time and trying to have a social life at the same time can be tricky.
So how do you work? Do you work on paper, and then when does it get to a computer, say?
Yeah, so I write a script, very detailed script, and then I draw pencil on paper to create all the comic panels, and then I ink them with a quill pen and black ink, and then I scan them, edit errors, and adjust the contrast, and then I put them online.
And so what have you found in terms of the kind of materials that you work with? Like the ink, is it a specific ink? Are you one of these artists that needs to have specific paper and brushes or pens?
I use the same Bristol board to draw on because it's thick and it's nice and smooth. But the ink I experiment with constantly. I'm always trying to find something that's going to work better. I do tend to use brushes sometimes or markers for expediency's sake. And I find that I'm more comfortable with a marker, which is kind of interesting. But the old school quill pens and brushes give more interesting marks.
And working week in and week out, do you find as an artist that you're improving, say?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah,
I guess there's experience in doing it, right?
Yes, comparing even like my first few pages in this in my comic to the more recent ones, I think that there is an improvement. There's always an improvement, and also working full time doing decorative arts, I think, has greatly improved my artistic ability.
Yeah, I guess working in art and then pursuing it on your own is a lot better than say doing other things and.
Mm-hmm. Being able to hold a paintbrush at work and, you know, learning things there has certainly improved my work.
What's the comic community like in Vancouver? I know people were talking recently about the closure of a store on Main Street.
I mean, I think that comic artists, there's a fantastic community. There's tons of people who are trying to self-publish and get their work out there, and it's a pretty strong community. I'm just elected to the board at Cloudscape Comics, which is an organization that...
It's a collective, right?
It's a collective, people. It's open to the general public. People who make their own comics, write their own comics, or just curious about comics can come out Wednesday nights at 7:30 for meetings. It's free, and we just all draw together. And, that's been a really great support system for me, getting feedback from people. But yeah, there's tons of people in Vancouver.
So the people like you doing stuff like this online and
yeah, I mean, anything, yeah. Like zombie comics, but I mean,
yeah, I walked into that thing at Woodward's there.
Yes,
and there was like, there was dozens of people.
Definitely more than dozens, but yeah. Yes, there's quite a few people there.
You alluded to working in, I mean, we're talking in Vancouver about, you know, how it is to live and work here.
Mm-hmm.
What's it like as an artist? Is it tough?
Oh, certainly. I mean, rent is always crazy, and I mean, in order to make comics, I need to not be working. So I need to be, well, working on my own comics and not, it doesn't pay an hourly rate. So it's always trying to find the balance of getting paid, paying your rent and your bills, making sure you have food to eat, but also expressing yourself and getting your own work done.
I guess what I'm wondering is what keeps people here, especially artists, because it is tough. It is expensive to live here.
Yeah, that's a really good question. I'm not sure. I have like a huge support system here, like family in Burnaby, and that's what's kept me here, although that's not to say I haven't, you know, been looking at other places to live. I mean, a comic artist can work anywhere,
yeah. Really,
because of computers and the internet these days, so.
Is there a place where there is as lively and vibrant a community as there is in Vancouver elsewhere?
Like
New York City, for example, would that be...
Definitely, yeah. Would be a big one, and Toronto has a huge comics community. I'm sure any major city in North America and Europe would have.
And so what's the goal then for you folks as artists? I mean, is it to be as big as a Charles Schulz or Spiegelman or?
I guess so.
And how do you become someone like that? I mean, I can't think of someone who, in the last 15, 20 years, has become. Well, I don't read comics, so there must be somebody who's broken out, say.
Of course, I mean, you'd have to be really knowledgeable of the comics community in order to recognize that. But I guess what you're talking about is people who sort of transcend the comics community. I mean, I'm sure there's people. I can't think of one at the moment, but. I think there's certainly been a lot of interest, a lot more interest in pop culture when it comes to comics. So
anime, I guess that was a big thing.
It still is a big thing.
It broke in North America, especially the stuff from Asia,
mm-hmm.
15 and 20 years ago. Is there sort of a cross pollination, if you will, or are they reading the stuff that's coming out of America, say? Or
that's a really good question that I'm not sure I have the answer to. I would like to think that they are appreciating North American comics just as we have people here who appreciate.
People here are obsessed with the stuff that's coming from the Far East, right?
There's a lot of really great stuff that's come out of Japan and whatnot. So, yeah, I have no idea, and I would love to know.
Yeah. Well, what inspires you in terms of doing art and so on? I mean, when we used to work together, we'd talk about pop culture and the sort and films. But as an artist, this is a totally different side of you. Did you find that there were, say, you mentioned Archie earlier, Spiegelman earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Were these things that you looked at, say, growing up and you thought, I want to do that?
I always knew that I wanted, well, no, I always enjoyed drawing and creating books. When I was a kid, my mom would help me make little, kids' books with my own drawings. And I've always enjoyed bookmaking.
Mm-hmm.
I took a couple classes in bookmaking at Emily Carr. And that's always...
Making books, not
making,
gambling,
physically
right?
Binding
not gambling books. Or... You
know. No, not sketchy bookkeeping. I love books so much, comics and otherwise. Once I decided that art school was going to be the thing, I knew that, making my own books was also going to be the thing.
And so you mentioned the work with Cloudscape Comics and the feedback that you get from people in that community.
Mm-hmm.
That must be important in terms of, say, knowing that something's good and something you should pursue, right? I mean...
Oh, certainly. It's very helpful to get feedback from other people. It's yeah, it's really important. It's such an isolating kind of thing to do.
Yeah, because you're working alone, right?
Yeah, so it's really great to, you know, show people, oh, what do you think of this? Is this any good? And they'd be like, oh, I can't really tell what's going on in that panel, the way it transitions to the next one. It's not reading right. And so then, you know, you get that feedback and you can make changes to improve your own work.
And there's a variety of comics that are available, right? I mean, you can get, like, fiction and the anime stuff and aliens.
Non-fiction.
And yeah, and what's that guy who does the one in Canada? The
Chester Brown?
Yeah, he did like, a Louis Riel. Yeah.
Paying for it as yeah. well, which is an autobiographical work.
Yeah, so, I mean, there is the whatever interest you might have, history or fantasy.
There's
or
something for everyone in comics.
Yeah. Why art for you? I mean, you talked earlier about you grew up, that this is something that you always wanted to do,
mm-hmm.
that this is something that interested you, and then you went to school for it. I mean, at a certain age, I guess you realize that this is what you want to do for a living, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess self-expression has always been something that has been important to me. I've dabbled in all sorts, creative writing, poetry, filmmaking. I've tried everything, and what stuck and what makes me most comfortable is just holding a pencil or a pen and drawing on paper. So it's just what feels most natural to me and what I enjoy doing most.
And this is something you see yourself doing for the rest of your life, say?
Yeah, I don't see myself not doing it. I mean, if I'm successful or not.
The other thing, you know, we always hear of people who are artistically inclined as kids, say, and wanting to pursue that. When you go to a place like Capilano or Emily Carr,
mm-hmm.
the skills that you get there, I mean, those must be invaluable.
Yeah, certainly. Not even just artistic, technical skill, because I don't think Emily Carr necessarily teaches a lot of that. I think some of the more important skills that I learned there was expressing myself verbally and figuring out when something looks wrong to you, why that is. Because it's easy to look at something and say, that's not right, I don't like that. But expressing why you don't like it and then also figuring out how to fix it is it's something that's hard to do. And that's something that I learned there for sure.
And do you find solace in art? With whatever's happening in your life or whatever's happening around the world, say?
I think so, certainly. I always feel relaxed and like I'm doing something important to me when I work on my comics.
And these are pretty troubled times in this country and around the world.
Yes.
I guess art's the only way out, if you will.
It can be. I mean, there's certainly escapism in pop culture and movies, but if you are not interested in that, then it can be a really great way to express how you feel about things.
There are a couple of events that you're participating in. One in early March in Seattle,
yes,
I understand.
Emerald City Comic Con in Seattle. I'll be there for the entire weekend.
And so you'll be selling. People can get copies of Misery Loves Company Volume
yes.
1 there, right?
Yes, I'll be at the Cloudscape booth. I'll have a little bit of table space there, and I will be selling my wares.
What's that like to have to sell your stuff like that? And I mean, you get cash for it, obviously. But I mean,
yes.
is that do you get people who've read the thing and
so far,
talk
no.
to you?
It's not. I don't have enough of a fan base for that yet. But I have learned that the only way to sell things is to really engage people and explain to them what you've got going on, you know, and sort of the internet dating is a really good hook for people because these days it's become so normal that everyone's doing it and they love hearing about it. So as soon as you mention internet dating and that it's about real experiences, I think people are really interested to know more, and that's helped.
So the character Hannah in Misery Loves Company, that's how she is, I guess, that's the angle, if you will, as we follow her through her life, as she looks for love online. You mentioned a moment ago about how a lot of people are doing that.
Yes.
Do you think that changes how people are dating then? I mean,
100%.
Like, yes. A generation ago, people go to a bar, say, and, you know, try to pick up someone, if you will.
I, like, as an introvert, I'm not entirely sure how people met other people, because I had a hell of a time, like, communicating with people, especially of the opposite sex. So to me, it didn't make any sense to me how people were able to find other people.
So you never went to a bar and...
No, I started internet dating very early, like 17 years old at a high school, before it was socially acceptable.
I would think, yeah.
Just because I, like, the thought of going to a bar with my friends.
Well, you can't go to a bar at 17, but...
No,
yeah.
But, like, even at a party or something, the thought of trying to meet someone like that was incredibly daunting and terrifying. So
the Hannah in Misery Loves Company is on... I guess a website, and then she meets someone, or meets people, I should say, and then they start communicating via the email.
Yeah.
Is that still happening today in the age of, like, Tinder and apps like that?
To be honest, I have been in a long-term relationship now for the past 6.5 years, so I myself am a little out of touch with the current...
You're off the scene. Yeah.
I was never on the scene. I missed out on the whole Tinder thing, but I have been lucky enough to have had friends let me in on their own internet dating experiences. I'm not a fan of Tinder. I think that it doesn't do what it should do. It's all about a picture, and it's not enough. I think OkCupid is probably one of the best ones out there currently, just because there's more info on the profile. You can get to know someone a bit more, their personality, before deciding to communicate with them. Plenty of Fish was my favorite back in the day, although I've heard that it's a little hit or miss now.
Because of the people on there currently, or...?
Perhaps. It's just not as popular. I mean, OkCupid is a little bit sleeker. It's, like, nicer to use. I mean, Plenty of Fish looks a little dated, I think.
And there were other things, too. Remember, like, Jew Date and Christian Mingle and things like that.
There's something for everyone. Yeah.
So there's the appearance in Seattle in March, mm-hmm. and then one in Vancouver in May. Is that right?
Yes. On May 20th and 21st, Vancouver Comic Arts Festival. People familiar with it know it as VanCaf, and it's becoming a really great festival.
Is that where people dress up as characters and things like that?
There's not a lot of cosplay there, no. It's mostly for independent artists trying to sell their art.
And so the audience that buys your work, because I bought this at one particular event, and mm-hmm. you'll be at Seattle, you'll be in Vancouver in May. Mm-hmm. Are these people, is this the general audience, do you think? I mean, or is this just people that are interested in this sort of work? Artists themselves, perhaps?
I think it's definitely people who are interested in comics and, local art, at least at Canzine. I haven't done a large Comic-Con, so it'll be interesting to see, what people, are interested in when I get down there. But I think if you get a chance to explain to someone what it's about, they, like I mentioned previously, people are so interested in internet dating these days that they gravitate towards it, I've found. And I also sell the zine that I think you also have there, Internet Dating Etiquette.
Yeah.
And that is, that's popular amongst people who, you know, have a friend that needs help.
I see.
So.
Yeah. And, by the way, Craigslist. Is that something that people use still for?
I mean, I think people always use Craigslist for personal ads.
But it's not a dating app per se.
It's not a dating app per se, but people go on there for that reason, or for, you know, more short-term reasons.
Yeah. More urgent reasons, yeah.
Urgent's a good word.
Yeah. What is it about, I mean, in terms of long-term relationships that come out of this? I mean, you spoke of your current deal.
Yeah.
Is that common amongst people that internet date?
I mean, perhaps, sure. If you find someone that you really like and you stay together, then that's great. I'm sure... I mean, it took me a really long time to find someone that I wanted to spend a lot of time with. there's a lot of people out there, and not all of them are going to work for you. And I think, I guess my situation is certainly not the norm for internet dating, but it's certainly possible.
A success story, if
it's,
you will.
Sure, it's a success story. I think there's a lot of them. But,
and so you've fashioned yourself now as a sort of expert and an evangelist, if you will, in terms of...
the love doctor.
Yeah, is that what you wanted? Yeah,
I'm the love doctor. I am 100% willing to give advice to anyone interested. All you have to do is email me, and I will give you all of my love advice.
And you can find Hannah on Twitter, at Hannah Lou Myers, right?
Yeah, on Twitter, at Hannah Lou Myers. Tweet me your problems, and I will help you.
Well, best of luck with all this. It's nice to see you again. All the best. And thanks for coming in to do this.
You as well. Thank you very much, Joe.
MiseryLovesComics.com is the website. Hannah Myers joined me in person here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Lantow.